Message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel.
Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, my dear friends. This is your radio pastor, Paul Ver. The great covenant that God made with Israel at Mount Sinai occupies an historical position between the covenant made with Abraham and the fulfillment of that covenant in the predicted seed of the woman. The New Testament scriptures declare it was added because of transgressions until the seed should come to whom the promise had been made. The seed of the woman was the divinely promised deliverer revealed to Adam following his disobedient fall into sin. Later, God announced that this promised Savior would spring from the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. During Israel's 400-year residence in Egypt, at that time the most learned nation of the world, the Israelites obtained instruction in many vital branches of knowledge. It was in the furnace of Egyptian bondage that God forged them into a nation. He later delivered them under the leadership of Moses. Assembled at the foot of Mount Sinai, God entered into a special covenant relationship with them. The scriptures reveal that God's purpose for the nation of Israel was fourfold. First, they were to give witness to the unity of God in the midst of universal idolatry. The Shema says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." Through his prophet Isaiah, God reminded Israel of that special purpose. "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, and beside me there is no Savior." Secondly, Israel was to be a living example to the Gentile nations of the genuine blessedness of serving the one true God. For Moses declared, "Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord." Thirdly, we observe that Israel was to receive, preserve, and communicate the Holy Scriptures. The rabbi from Tarsus, known as Paul, wrote to the church at Galatia, saying, "What advantage then hath the Jew? Much in every way. Chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God." And fourthly, we see that Israel was to be the channel for the coming of the promised seed of Messiah. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Galatians, says, "Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ, that is Messiah, came, who is, over all, God blessed forever. Amen." Moses gave instruction to Israel concerning how they were to respond to the false worship of idols they would find in the promised land. He said, "Ye shall surely destroy all the place wherein the nations which ye shall possess served their gods." Regarding the worship of God, Moses stated that God would select the location where the Ark of the Covenant would be placed, and where the sacrificial offerings were to be made. He said, "The place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and there thou shalt come." That chosen place became the city of Jerusalem. King David desired to construct a temple to the Lord. This desire was readily endorsed by God's prophet Nathan, who said, "Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee." But that very night, however, God informed Nathan that David was not to be the builder. Instead, God reveals that it would be David's son that would construct the temple. To David, the man after God's own heart, God had something far greater in store. This greater matter was to be what has become known as the Davidic covenant. The promised seed of the woman, who would come as man's great deliverer, would be the son of David. That is, he would come from David's descendants, and his kingdom and throne would be established forever. The covenant made with David guaranteed the following. 1. An unfailing house or line of David's descendants to sit on his throne. Though chastisement due to sin might cause the actual physical throne itself to be unoccupied, there would never lack one whose right it was to sit upon that throne. For God promised, I will set up thy seed after thee. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him, but my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, and thine house shall be established forever. God also promised that David's throne, along with his kingdom, would last forever. This covenant, given on oath by Jehovah, will never be abrogated or annulled, and it forms the basis for the predicted messianic kingdom. The Tanakh refers to the Davidic covenant as an everlasting covenant ordered in all things and sure, that is, certain. The covenanted rights and promises of the Abrahamic covenant now belonged permanently to the historic house of David. The prophet Isaiah referred to this assurance embodied in the Davidic covenant as the sure mercies of David. The sure mercies of David became the burning lamp of hope in the midst of Israel's national failure. God had declared, I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. Another beautiful expression in the Hebrew Scriptures, which emphasizes the irrevocable certainty of the Davidic covenant, are the words recorded in Amos. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. Here the prophet predicts the re-establishment of the Davidic dynasty and the restoration of Israel's kingdom through the Messiah. In another lovely and most meaningful phrase that can be seen in prophet Isaiah's prophecy, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. The key signifies the royal power and authority. By the appointment of the king, a house ruler was entrusted with the supervision of the royal household. That person made decisions as to who would be received into the king's employment. Isaiah spoke of a person named Shebna, an ambitious scribe and an opportunist, who became the king's steward. He had no right to the powerful position. This man was deposed, and the authoritative position was passed to the rightful heir, a man named Eliakim. God declared, "The key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulders." It is interesting that the very name Eliakim means one who has been set up by the Lord. He is considered to be a beautiful picture of the promised Messiah. From here, the entire Davidic covenant moves on through the Scriptures to the coming of Yeshua HaMashiach, the rightful descendant of David. The promised Savior and Deliverer, called in the Garden of Eden the seed of the woman, became in time the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then under the Davidic covenant, he was confirmed to be the seed of David. Speaking to the Virgin Mary of Messiah's birth, the angel Gabriel said, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Yeshua. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob for ever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, as the root of Jesse, confirmed the promises made unto the fathers. The Apostle Paul, announcing the gospel, or the good news, said it concerned God's Son, Jesus Christ, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection of the dead. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus became the prevailing Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. The Apostle Peter referred to the Davidic covenant in his famous sermon delivered on the day of Pentecost. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up. For David speaketh concerning him, Thou wilt not leave my soul in Hades, neither wilt thou allow thine Holy One to see corruption. The patriarch David is both dead and buried. His sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ. It was in the purpose and plan of God that the Messiah would die to accomplish the redemptive plan. He rose from the dead because of God's oath to David that he would eventually sit on David's throne. At his second coming, Yeshua, the Prince of Peace, will bring to fruition the scriptural prayer, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. World events indicate the fast approaching end of this present age. Before too long, the nations of the world will be drawn to Jerusalem, where they will face the returned Christ. At that time, he will set up again the tabernacle of David. Are you prepared? Behold, now is the day of salvation. Will you turn to him in faith and acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior? Shalom. May the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Shalom.